The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
The fame thing isn't really real, you know. And don't forget, I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
Shane Coleman is actually has tears in his eyes listening to
Julia
Roberts, of course, speaking there in Notting Hill to Hugh Grant, who we don't hear. But it's a tough time, apparently, for movies about love. So says the director of a new film, Finding Emily. But have we really lost the art of creating good on-screen romance? Is the rom-com over? Joining us now to discuss this is Brian Lloyd, film critic and host of the podcast Screenland, and Esther McCarthy from the Irish Examiner. Good evening to you both. Esther, do you think rom-coms are dead and gone? We have Esther?
I grew up with the classics. Hi, can you hear me? Hello, I can, Esther.
How are you?
Great all together. Yeah, you got me going down a nostalgic rabbit hole now with this one, because I would have grown up with the classics, you know, that one that we just heard, Notting Hill, the amazing Harry Met Sally, Miss Congeniality, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Bridget Jones' Diary, My Best Friend's Wedding. Like, they're all classic. Fabulous, feel good, romantic, beautiful. We'll gloss over the bit where, you know, sometimes the woman is a bit problematic and has to be changed so that she can realise she loves the guy and all that kind of thing. But I don't think there's anything quite like it today. I think they've had their moment, and kind of, you know, when everything starts going over to streaming, there probably wasn't the appetite for that anymore. That, you know, they were usually all white characters, straight, you know, and we see the difference now, of course, with the shows that Crazy Rich Asians probably changed the genre with an all Asian cast. So, you know, they're evolving like they should be, I guess. But I don't think the classics are there anymore, for sure.
Interesting. Would you agree, Brian?
No, not at all. Sorry to put it across that way, but no, I really wouldn't agree with that at all. Like, the reality of it is that, like, since streaming has kind of taken over, Netflix has really taken up the mantle of, you know, making these sort of mid-range comedies, let's call them, because they're very cheap to make. Like, in the last year, I've literally just been looking at it here now. In 2025, there was at least 20 rom-coms released in cinemas. You had Bridget Jones' Mad About the Boy. You had Materialist. I don't know if you remember, you saw that one with Dakota Johnson and Chris Evans and Pedro Pascal. There was Heart Eyes, there was My Oxford Year, there was You're Cordially Invited, there was The Wedding Banquet, there was The Map That Leads to You. So, like, they are still making them. I would say, I mean, to Esther's point, yes, I don't think the quality is maybe as it once was. I mean, I do think that because, you know, they were so prodigious, because they made so many of them, it does feel like a lot of films are kind of repeating the same ideas, same, you know, talking points, same, you know, same kind of thing.
It's hardly surprising that the same ideas are repeated when it's, you know, and I know this is very heteronormative or whatever, but when they're all like boy meets girl or girl meets boy, yeah, or whatever, like it's you know, they can still be done well and repeat a little bit, you would imagine, because essentially it's a story as old as time, surely.
It is, yeah, but I mean, okay, so just take, for example, like, the one that I would always point to is When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, I love it. My favourite, probably.
Which, yeah, same too. Yeah, exactly. And I would argue the things that they talk about in that film, which is, you know, can a man and a woman, you know, just be friends, or will it always inevitably lead into a romantic relationship? I would imagine that would just as work as easily with a homosexual couple. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
or you know, it's like, it's not.
And oh, by the way, I was just saying, I'm not saying that it wouldn't.
No,
what
I'm saying is that they were kind of
by their nature back in the day heteronormative, but that they do repeat, because that boy meets boy and girl meets girl, is that's the same story too. People fall in love. There's only so many stories you can come up with.
Absolutely. That is my point, is that, like, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you can change the kind of the parts or whatever, but essentially that story has been told, and told so well that, like, every time now, like, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned there, like, Finding Emily, and the director of it has said, like, you know, they're trying to kind of you know, find the spirit of Richard Curtis once again, which of course didn't go away. He's still making romantic comedies. So it's not as if, you know, he suddenly retired or anything like that. And, you know, again, to go back to When Harry Met Sally, I mean, you know, that film is just as relevant. That film has aged like a fine wine, as far as I'm concerned. If anything, it becomes even more relevant as time goes on. And you see films like Materialists, for example, are trying to kind of interrogate the genre. I mean, I do think that is something that's happening a lot there, where you see kind of a lot of romantic comedies are trying to kind of look at like the kind of the talking points of the genre and say, okay, is this actually what we thought it was? Does this still hold water, et cetera, et cetera?
Brian, I mean, you can go way further back, can't you, than When Harry Met Sally? Yeah. I mean, you think of Cary Grant, most of his films were rom-coms, weren't they?
Absolutely.
And pretty good ones as well.
Roman Holiday. I mean, that's your typical fish out of water romantic comedy, you know, in a beautiful environment and stuff
like
that.
His Girl Friday, The Philadelphia Story.
Absolutely. This is it. So, like, I mean, it's not necessarily that, you know, these things, we've just hit a point and we can't really do them anymore.
But the ones you mentioned, I've seen some of them because, you know, you're sitting there with the family and you watch them. A lot of them are god-awful brutal, aren't they?
I think that's it. And I think this kind of goes to what we're talking about, is that there's a lack of imagination and there's certainly, I think, a lack of due care.
I would argue that Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, which is only about a year old, will be up there with the classics. I really liked it.
I wasn't mad about it.
I loved it. Loved it. I can't get enough. Esther,
it had its moments.
Well, it wasn't as good as the first one, though. Like, the first one outstanding one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I've kind of liked them all. Okay, some of them were better.
Not a downward trajectory from one to four?
Stop talking.
I really liked the first one, but I think there was a kind of a downward.
I think Mad About the Boy came back from where it had gone to them. Esther, do you have a favourite rom-com or a favourite rom-com moment?
A favourite rom-com moment. I did love Pretty Woman, God forbid me, and my feminist oils when he, arrived at the end and it was like the prince in shining armour coming together from the balcony. And now that I'm older, I know how wrong I was, but I remember just the joy of that. Like,
that film is a bit problematic on many levels. Esther.
I grew up.
I've got a great one for you.
Go on. Don't say it to me now as if you're the man and I'm the woman, because I'm distracted.
I would never dream of doing that, Esther. And I bet you like this. John Cusack holding up the ghetto blaster in Say Anything, In Your Eyes, pumping out. Oh, I think that
I didn't like that at all.
Really?
No, that was corny. Yeah, sorry.
That was corny. And arriving in a limo.
I have to say, one of my favourite rom-coms is actually also John Cusack, but it would be Gross Point Blank. That is a brilliant rom-com.
I wouldn't have thought of that as a rom-com. You're right.
I see it as obviously with a bit of assassination and stuff thrown in, but it was definitely quintessentially a love story between Minnie Driver and John Cusack. Look, I think we've if it is half dead, I think we may have how do you say that word?
Reinvigorated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reinvigorated.
The rom-com.
Look at Normal People. Yeah, let's look at the TV.
I'm not sure Normal People qualifies as a rom-com, does it?
I don't think there was much com.
There wasn't a lot of rom either.
Yeah, maybe. There was. Stop. That was a gorgeous story. See, it's good. It's good to chat about these things. I'll watch Bridget Jones' Diary again, though, tonight.
All righty. Listen, thank you both sincerely to Brian Lloyd and Esther McCarthy there. Let us know your favourite rom-coms out there and your favourite rom-com moments. I have a really sneaking love of Gross Point Blank. I may even watch it over the weekend.
Yeah, that's kind of...
it's slightly dark rom-com.
It's a rom-com, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's good, isn't it?
It is good. It is absolutely good. Yeah, no argument there. The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. This is News Talk.